artificial intelligence seems to be the topic of the morning. And as Labor's national conference begins in Adelaide today, AI is expected to be a major focus, with the government pledging to better regulate the use of artificial intelligence in federal agencies such as Centrelink and Services Australia. It follows calls for greater human oversight in government programs using automated technologies like RoboDebt or the recently rolled out aged care integrated assessment tool, and to clarify, they were not AI technologies. Ed Santo is a former Human Rights Commissioner and co-founder of the Human Technology Institute and joins me now. Morning, Ed. Welcome to Breakfast.
Yeah, it's good to be here.
Just to begin with, we can't ignore the news of today. I want to ask you about this development we're hearing this morning with OpenAI revealing one of its advanced artificial intelligence systems went rogue and hacked another AI company without instructions. With this incident in mind, what should government be considering when integrating AI into federal agencies?
It's a really sobering incident. And so the first thing that government should remind itself of is that this kind of type of AI, known as agentic AI, is right at the bleeding edge. And so even one of the most powerful tech companies in the world cannot reliably and safely use this technology that it has itself developed. And so what does that mean? It means that there are lots of other types of AI that are primarily about analyzing information, getting insights, that are not so much about letting the AI loose to go and do a whole bunch of activities. And so we should be kind of really leaning in government to using that safer form of AI that is much more tried and tested.
And Ed, if we've been clear with the terminology here, what do we mean by agentic AI?
Yeah, so agentic AI is where you're not just looking for insights from large amounts of data. You've decided to instruct your AI agent, a little bit like a robot, to go and do a bunch of things for you. And so in the OpenAI example, it was given this instruction to go and do a bunch of activities, but to do so in this kind of safe space, known as a sandbox. And it was very clear that it was not meant to leave the sandbox. And pretty much one of the first things it tried to do was leave the sandbox. And it successfully did so. It exploited some vulnerabilities in that technological system, and it got out into the open internet.
How do we hold AI companies responsible if they can't control some of these agentic AI models?
Well, that's the $64,000 question. The first part is, are our laws sufficient to hold them to account? And one of the good things about Australia is that the vast majority of our laws are technology neutral, which means they apply to all technologies and none. And so I think what the federal government has said rightly is that our regulators need to apply those laws. So if someone is kind of, acting in a way that is misleading and deceptive, that is just as unlawful if they do that using AI as if they were just doing it, in the old-fashioned way.
So in the government sector, there were very sobering and shocking ethical lessons from examples like RoboDebt. Your organisation, the Human Technology Institute, has made a submission to the Parliamentary Committee reviewing reforms to the NDIS, the National Disability Insurance Scheme, focusing on concerns around automated decision-making. What are the major messages that you have put into that submission?
Well, first we need to be really clear. We're not talking about the bleeding edge forms of AI
That's
here.
That's right. This is automated.
Yeah, yeah. But what we would say is that automated decision-making can be safe and indeed can be a very good way of doing government, provided three things are true. The first is that you have to be very careful about automating discretion. So if it's just a kind of a routine question, That's fine, but a discretionary question like, is this person potentially at risk of getting into financial hardship? That's much more difficult to automate. The second point is you need to protect people's review rights. We saw with RoboDebt that people, would receive this debt notice. They thought it was wrong, but they had no easy, straightforward way to challenge that, and that needs to change. And then the third thing is people need to understand the decision. If you just get this decision, it sounds really unfair or wrong, but you have no explanation of it, then that is fundamentally anti-democratic.
Does the NDIS bill signal where the government might be going with future legislation around automated decision making?
Well, it might. I mean, I think the NDIS bill really matters on its own terms, because those three concerns that I have about discretion, making sure people understand decisions, and, you know, that people are able to review those decisions, those are the three areas where the bill falls down. So the government, you know, still hasn't passed that bill. There's an inquiry on foot, and I would hope that those problems can be fixed. And now that the government has committed to whole of government legislation that deals with automated decision-making in every other portfolio, that those three issues, which were right at the centre of the Robodebt Royal Commission, that they should be front of mind.
Ed, where does fairness sit here with automated decision making? Does fairness sit with uniformity or with discretion?
Look, I mean, it can be both, right? You know, there's that old saying that lawyers, particularly human rights lawyers like me, trot out, which is that consistency is the hobgoblin of little minds. What that really means is that consistency is important. You don't want to have, you know, some people getting much more favourable decisions than others. But, you know, an over-focus on consistency really means that you can't take into account people's individual circumstances. And the NDIS is such an important example of that. You know, people's experience of disability genuinely does vary. And so it's important that the government is able to take into account people's individual circumstances.
Can regulation and legislation keep up with tech?
Absolutely it can. I think that's one of the myths that is sometimes put out there. You know, One of the strengths in Australia is that we don't try to play whack-a-mole with every new tech development. Instead, what our laws tend to do is that they say, you know, regardless of how you make this decision, you can't treat someone less favourably because they're a woman or because of their disability or because of their age or whatever. And what that allows companies and indeed government to do is to innovate, find more efficient, better ways of making decisions, provided that fundamental principle holds. And so what that then means is that we really need to be very clear on how to apply the rule and enforce it.
Ed, thank you very much.
Thank you.